Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yuma Daf Chaf Beis. We begin the second parak. Says the Mishnah up on top, Barishayna initially, Kol Misharoitz, any kain from today's group, today's Beis Av, who would like to do the Trumas Hadeshem, Kol Misharoitz, Litroy Mesamizbeach, Torah, he may do so. Apparently, as the Gemara will explain for us, there wasn't so much interest in the Avodah of Trumas Hadeshen. It was more than night. So it didn't really elicit much interest in competition. Chacham said, you know what, whoever comes first, first come, first serve. Ubizman Shem Rubin, suppose there were several Kehanim who arrived at once and were competing for the job. What do we do now? Rots and Voilin Bekevish. They had a race up the ramp of the Mizbeach, Kalakoyd Mizchaveroy. Ba'arba Amos, Zach. Whichever kain arrived first at the finish line, what was the finish line? The last four Amos of the Kevish, closest to the Mizbeach, that was considered the finish line. Whichever kain entered that four Amos section first, he's Zach. Kalakoyd Mizchaveroy, Rab Amos Zach. Suppose there were two Kayhanim who arrived together at the finish line. What do we do now? So none of them were Zaycha. Rather, we go back to the drawing board. The Mamuna turns around and announces to all the Kayhanim present, HaMamuna Oymerlehen Hatzbiu, all of you show your finger. So Rashi will explain for us exactly how they did this. This was a pious, a lottery. So they would form a circle. They would stick out their fingers. And the Mamuna would have a preset number, 100, 200, 300. He would start from one of the Kehanim and make his way around that circle over and over until he reaches the number that he set for himself. And that Kehan was the lucky winner. HaMamuna Oymer Lehen Hatzbiu, the Mamuna, the one in charge, would tell them to show their fingers. Umahem Meitzin, which finger would they, what would they stick out? Achas Eshtayim, either one finger, or if a Kohen had difficulty extending only one finger, he would put two together. Ve'ein Meitzin Agudu Amigdash, however, a thumb, that they would never use. Rashi will explain for us why. Ma'aseh Shoyushnayim Shavim. There's actually a story that two Kohanim were neck and neck up that Kevish. Ve'rotzen Ve'olim B'Kevish. They were running up the Kevish. V'dochav echad menes chaveri. And one of them got violent. He gave his friend a shove. V'nafal, and he fell. V'nishper ragloi, and he broke his foot. Chacham saw, this is going to bring to sakana. We have to change our methods. V'kivan shero bezdin shebon de sakana. Once bezdin saw that it's leading to sakana, they decided, let's apply the standard procedure, which was applied to all karbanis, a pious, a lottery. Hiskinu sheloyehu toymen es ha-mizbeach leba pious. They decided the only way to do Trumas Hadeshen was through a standard pious, forming a circle and counting fingers, and the lucky winner would do Trumas Hadeshen. Arba piyases ha-yusham. In fact, there were four lotteries in the Beis HaMikdash throughout the day. Vizeh ha-pious ha-rishayin. This being the first of four. Says Rashi up on top. Barishan, kol mi sheroitze litron, kol kain shohayim o'ise beisav, any kain from that day's group who wanted to do Trumas Hadeshen, roitze litron Hadeshen, shachris, toirem, v'loi ha'ye pais l'davar, there was no lottery. Ubezman shem Reuben, haborin litron, suppose there were several came to do Trumas Hadeshen, ze'oimer ani toirem, v'ze'oimer ani toirem. So the debate raged on. He says, I'm the one to do it. He says, I'm going to be the one to do it. Zehaya mishpatam. This is the procedure that they applied. Rotzen v'olim b'kevish. They would run up the kevish, shushleishim v'shtayim oirech, which was 32 amos long, a pretty long running track. V'kol akoydim behen likonis l'teich arba amos eldyanis shel kevish hasmuchos l'shem esbeach zechalutroim v'zeo garolim. Whichever kohen arrived first at the top, he's zeicher, and that was like as though. They had a lottery. This was a way to determine who's going to have the schus of doing Truma Asadesh. Suppose two Kayhanim arrived there together. Ein echad mehen zoicha, literally, none of them will be zoicha. Avo meyato kulam boy, not a girl. So what then do they do? Okay, hanam will now participate in the girl, umar a girl, how do they do this? Hamamun alap hayasois, oyimer lukulam atzbi, turns to all them, he says, stick out your fingers. Hoytzius boy seicham kol echad yare etz boy, kedem afarish, come on a pirkin. Makifen v'oim ba'kulam. So they all form a circle. Boha memuna, v'noitel mitznefes, mal roish echad mehem. The memuna approaches one of the kohanim, removes his hat. U'menu pious. And the pious will initiate from this kohen. This way they have a clear simon where the pious began. V'echad maschal limnus, and one of them begins counting. U'moitzi kol echad etzboi l'minyon, and everybody extends their finger. V'mamuna oimer. And the Muna announces, Kol Shaminin Kalabai, whichever coin ends up being the last number counted, Hu Zoiche, he will be the one to have the schus, to have the privilege. Umoitzi mipiv minyan, oy meya, oy shishim, oy harbe yoisim shoya kayhanim. What type of number does he use? A number which is much greater than the amount of kayhanim present. You have 20 presents, you throw out a number 87. This way, there's no way to think that he had anybody in mind. Umas chalimnois, he begins his count, from that coin, who's now missing his cap, begins from him, one, two, counts fingers, and he counts around, until he gets to the final number. Umisha minyan kalaboy, the coin, who happens to be that final number, he is a zoicha, and this applies to all piyasas. Which finger would they extend? Achas eshtayim, why one or two? The Gemara will explain, but marach parachalala. Ve'imotzina gudol v'milash, why not a thumb? The Gemara mefarsh. If you're concerned about tricksters, sheikishayik v'aminin l'chlois. When this kind standing there wants desperately to be zoicha, in this avoid, we'll notice, take a look, the number is about to end, but not going to end by me. The coin right after me. So he's one short. He sees that it's about to end at the coin behind him, next to him. So what's he going to do? So this coin, I want to be zeicha, and I'm one short, so what do? So I extend two fingers. This way, I'm counted twice. This will cause the number to end by me. And the counter won't necessarily notice that it's the same person. Because look, they had their fingers all crouched next to each other. And he'll notice two fingers pretty far from each other. A finger and a thumb. Because he has the ability of extending his fingers apart. It looked like two people's fingers. So he'll count them double, and he'll end up being zeicha in the Trumas Hadeshin, unrightfully so. So therefore, Chacham made a takana, a finger, maybe two together, but not the thumb. This was initially, it was first come, first serve, or they would have a race, until it got violent. Chacham decided the only way to do it is through a pious, elav a pious, zeish v'rashnu, as we just described. Abra piyasas ha-yisham, there were four piyasas, dalet pa'am ba-yayim, ne'asaf and le-payas, four times a day, they would gather to engage in this pious process. Let's get back to the Gemara. The Mishnah began by telling us, initially it was first come, first serve basis. Then, they had some complications, they conducted a race. And then it got violent, they decided to do a pious. What happened? Why was it that initially a pious wasn't necessary? Why was it different than the other avodos in the Beis HaMikdash, which were granted and distributed through piyasis, through lotteries? Now, why in the beginning, my time le'tekinu l'rabbana piyasa? Initially, why is it that the Chacham not apply a lottery system? Answer is, mi'ikara sover, initially Chacham thought, ki v'nda avodos lailahi, since Trumas Hadeshin as a nighttime activity. It doesn't really have too much chashivas in the eyes of Kehanim. unlike other karbonis, other avoides, which are daytime avoides, avoides of prominence. The primary avoides were done during the day. That's the main zman of avoides. But emtsavoyes bnei Yisrael lack of karbonim, it was meant to be done by day. Tumas Hadeshim was sort of a secondary avoida. Doesn't have the same chashivas, and therefore Chachama figured it's not chashiv to them. But also, not many are going to show up. Certainly, they're not going to be too anxious about doing it. And let's just leave it at that. Whoever comes first will be zeicha. In fact, if we're going to apply a pious, perhaps nobody will come. He's not going to come for something insignificant on a chance that he might be zeicha. So just leave it at that. Whoever comes first, he is zeicha. It's like somebody who's zeicha something from Hefker. It's a schus. He came first, he'll be zeicha. Suppose we have a couple, okay, we run a race, and whoever reaches the Mizbeach first wins. However, given the chazu, the ka'asu, va'asu, the sakana. Once the chum saw the ka'asu, that many are arriving, and they're arriving with frenzy, with anxiety. Va'asu, the sakana, in fact, it was getting violent there. They decided, okay, let's revert back to standard procedure. Tekinu lapiyasa, they were masakin, they're pious. Was needed to be zeicha in Trumas Hadeshen as well. Says the Gemara, "Vayevorim eptarim." The avoidus laila. Utkinu l'rabbanim piyasa. You say that avoidus laila was not chashem in their eyes. That's what they thought initially, until it gained popularity. But initially, they figured avoidus laila is not something which would attract many customers. But evorim eptarim, the leftover limbs of the carbon, the chela of the carbon, which were generally, many times, were brought at night. The actual hakrova and the shechita had to be done by day. But the evarim p'darim, many times, were actually tended to at night. It's about this laila. And still, in all we find, there was a pious applied there as well. Why? Why did the chachamim see a need to apply a pious? By avoid this laila, which you tend to think would not attract much interest. Soif avoida the imamehi. Although it was done at night, but it was the tail end of the day's avoida. Remember, it was part of a carbon which was actually brought by day. So therefore Rashi says, it was chashuva be'enei kehanim lovoi loriv aleha. It carried weight and significance to the extent that the kehanim would come in a frenzy, would vie and compete for it, and chachamim knew there's no way to do this peacefully without a pious, as opposed to Trumas Hadeshen, which was an independent activity, a nighttime activity, which, at least we figured, would not carry much chashivas in their eyes. Hainami tchilas avoida di imami. Trumas Hadeshen as well is considered the initiation of the avoida di imami, of the daytime avoida. The day's work in the Beis Hamikdash began with Trumas Hadeshen. The Amar B'Yechon, Ki Desh Yadav, the Trumas Hadeshen, although when a kohen washed his hands, Ki Desh Yadav Raglaim at night, come morning, perhaps it becomes possible, in according to one sheet in the Gemara Zvachim, you have to rewash your hands. However, says Rabbi Yechon, if he did Ki Desh Yadav for Trumas Hadeshen, Lamachar ain't zorach lekalish. He doesn't need to rewash his hands tomorrow. Why? Shekvar kiddush mitchilas avoda. Trumas Hadeshen is considered tchilas avoda. He already washed his hands for today's avoda, even though it's still dark outside. Trumas Hadeshen is considered part of the next day's avoda. In which case, the kiddush yadayim raglayim for Trumas Hadeshen carries into the day. There's no need to rewash. What do we see from here? Trumas Hadeshen was not considered an avoidas laila that has less significance. No. It kicked off the avoidas hayayim. So why would it not have chashivas in their eyes? Ema rather say as follows. Rabbi Yechon says, washing for Trumas Hadeshen counts for the next day. It's not because Trumas Hadeshen was tchilas avoidas hayayim. No. It was avoidas halayla. Rather say as follows. Ema, shekvar kiddush mitchila avoida. Because since Trumas Hadeshen was so close to morning, it was at the time of Kriyas HaGever, it was almost light, it was almost morning. So when he washed his hands for that, since it was so close to day, shekvar kiddush mitchila, initially already washed his hands for today's avodah, it's close enough and it counts for today as well. But certainly, technically speaking, Trumas Hadeshen was an avodah slayla. So according to this pshat, the Gemara, initially we figured Trumas Hadeshen would not elicit much interest, it was an avodah slayla. After a while we saw that it gained popularity and everybody came running with a frenzy, got violent, they decided to apply the standard lottery procedure. Yikud Amri, there's another version of events. Mi'ikara Sover, initially Chachama figured, Kivan the Ika Oina Shena, like us. The reason why the Kohanim would not come in droves was because you would have to lose sleep over it, more than night. Oina Shena, it wouldn't be such an attractive activity. So they decided, you know what, whoever troubled himself to come here, he's deserving of that tzchus. First come, first serve. Afterwards, what happened? It gained popularity. Kivan the Chazu, once they saw the Asu, everybody's coming, and it was a popular activity. The Ka'asu, namely Sakana, in fact, it actually can come to Sakana, shoving people off the Kevish. Tekina l'Rabbana Piyasa, Chacham decided to apply the pious system. So according to this version, the reason why Chacham figured there wouldn't be much competition was because it involves loss of sleep. Varei Yevarim Pederim, says the Gemara, there as well. It was a nighttime activity. Digoine Shena, it involves loss of sleep. Utkina l'Rabbanam Piyasa, we see the Chachamim were concerned about competition and only allowed that avodah to be done by way of a pious. What's the difference? A big difference, says the Gemara. Shani Migna Mimeka. Migna means delaying bedtime. It's much easier. Mimeikam, than getting up early in the morning for a seeker. We all know that to be so, that staying up late at night is easier than waking up early in the morning. Evarim Pedarim, although it took place at night, but it meant staying up a bit longer, and there was a lot of interest for that. As opposed to Trumas Hadeshen, we figured it means getting up early in the morning, we won't have too many customers, rather than apply a pious that might discourage people from coming, let's have the first person arrives be zoich in that privilege. Eventually, we got the Sakana, and we applied the pious system. Asks the Gemara, so you mean to say the pious was there to address the danger in Sakana? There was no other reason for pious, but takanta, this takana, was lahach gisa, was for this purpose. Havoy? Takanta lahach gisa havoy. We seem to find that the takana, the fact that they established a pious, was actually to accomplish something else, for another purpose altogether. The sanya, as we learned, Misha zocha b'trumas hadeshen, the kohen who was zoicha in trumas hadeshen, yiske besidim arocha, it was a package deal. If he was zeichet to Mesadesh, he was also zeichet to set up the wood arrangement on the Mizbeach, Sidim Aroch, and also to add the Shnei Gezire Eitzim, the two blocks of wood, on the Maroch. So the package deal, it was a bundle. He was zeichet one, zeichet all three. Explains Rashi, what's the Moris Kasha? Now those activities, Sidim Aroch, being makriv the Gezire Eitzim, was certainly Chashav Avodis, which required a pious in order to distribute it fairly and peacefully. Apparently, the reason why the Trumas Hadeshen required a pious was because it went together with the other two privileges, which certainly required pious. And that makes sense. Now we understand why Trumas Hadeshen needed a pious as well. Not on account of itself, but on account of the other avodas which came along with it, which justified a pious. So it wasn't on account of the Sakana issue, rather on account of this reason, that Trumas Hadeshen needed a pious. Amar Rav Ashi, I'll tell you the answer. This happened in two stages. There were two phases to the procedure. Shtei Takanois Hav. There were two Takanois regarding Trumas Hadeshen. Meikara, initially, Barishoina, Sovar, Chachamim figured, Lo Yasu. It wasn't going to be much attraction, many crowds, and much competition. And therefore, whoever comes first come, first serve. Kiv and the Chazu the Ka'asu. Once they saw that the crowds are arriving, it's becoming a popular event. Vasanam de Sakana, and it's endangering people. They apply to pious. So that's how we have it in our Mishnah, and the way the Gemara explained up until this point. That was phase one of the story. Now what happened? Once they applied a pious system, what happened? It had the opposite effect. Loyosu. Nobody showed up. It discouraged people from coming. Amri, people would say, me, Eymar, who's going to say to Mesramilon that I'm going to be zoich in the pious? Get up all the night for avoidas lailo, which is not chashev. So for all those reasons, it was really not so chashev in their eyes to begin with. So fine, if I can arrive first and be zoich, I'll make sure to be first. If I can race up the kevish, I'm a good runner. So I'll come do it. But if it's distributed through lottery, 1 in 100 chance I'll be zoicha. Neicha teisa, I'm not interested in doing it. So it actually discouraged people from coming. So now back to square one. We don't have customers. So what then did the Chachamim do? Came phase two. Hadar tkinulu, Chachamim applied it to Takana. That Misha zocha, they made it more enticing. It was a package deal. If you zoicha in this, you get everything that comes along with it. Misha zocha b'tumas hadeshin, the coin who was zoicha through the pious and tumas hadeshin. He's on the other avoidas as well. Set up that marocha, bring the 2 blocks of wood, to encourage kayam to come and join the pious. So in summary, we learned that there are 2 phases in the Trumas Hadeshen process. Initially, they figured nobody's going to come. It's a nighttime avoida, which has no chashivas. Doesn't have the same level of chashivas. It involves getting up early, loss of sleep, inconvenient. Who's going to come anyways? So they decided whoever comes first, he's zoicha, rightfully so, he got up early. On a case we had several kehan, the one who reaches the top of his back first, he wins the race, he wins the schus. Once they saw that it's generating sakana because it became a popular activity, and everybody came with a frenzy, and it was competition, it got violent, they decided to apply a pious. Now, people stop coming. Who says, I'm going to win the pie? It's not worth it. So they applied some perks to the job. They added another 2 avoides. See the marocha, shnei gzireitzim, making it more enticing and attractive to attract more kehanim to participate in the pious for Trumas Hadeshen. Ubizman Shemirubim continues the Gemara. There were several kehanim around. What did they do? They ran up to Kevish, whoever arrived at the finish line first, he is zeich. The Mishnah tells us, what is the finish line? The last 4 amos near the Mizbeach. Amra papa, pshitali, it's clear to me, arba amos da ara loy. Now, we have the floor, we have the kevish, we have the Mizbeach. Says Rav Papa, it's pretty clear to me, that when the Mishnah says, kol ha-koidim is chaver bi-arba amos, he's the first one to reach the 4 amos, we're not speaking about the 4 amos on the floor, on the bottom of the kevish, the last 4 amos near the kevish. That's not what we're speaking about. Why? Rotzen v'olim bekevish tnan. Mishnah clearly says they would race up the kevish to the finish line. That's out. Kamaisa namiloi. Nor are we speaking about the first 4 amos of the kevish itself. That being the finish line. No. Rotzen v'olim bekevish tnan. Mishnah clearly says they would run up the kevish to the finish line. V'hadar kol ha-koidim es chaveri. First they would run up, and then we speak about the kohen who arrives first. Apparently, after first run up, finish line was at the end of the kevish. The beini beini namilei, it can't be somewhere in the middle of the kevish. Le misaimi milsa. We don't have a clear delineation of where that is. There's no way to figure where that is. So that can't be the finish line. Pshitali. The gavim is be'echtan. If that's the case, it's pretty pasha to me that the 4 amos described in the Mishnah are the last 4 amos right at the Mizbeach. So that was considered the finish line. Whoever arrives into that section first, he's zoich. We still have one more uncertainty. We know that the kevish was 32 amos long. And it overlapped on part of the Mizbeach. Why? Mizbeach was near the kevish. But remember, the Mizbeach on the bottom had a yisoid, a base, protruding out of the Mizbeach, and had a soiviv protruding out of the Mizbeach. The soiviv was 1 amma into the kevish, and so was the Yisoid, another Amma. So in total, the Kevish would cover two of those Ammas protruding out of the Mizbeach. So the question is, when we speak about the Kohen arriving first at those four Ammas closest to the Mizbeach, what are we speaking about? Four Ammas to the actual top surface of the Mizbeach, ignoring the fact that the Mizbeach extended into the Kevesh. So if this was the Kevesh reaching the Mizbeach on top, we're speaking about the Kohen arriving first at the last four Ammas. It's the last four Ammas right near the Mizbeach on top, near the surface, top surface of the Mizbeach, where the Deshen actually was, on the top of the Maracha. Or, perhaps, we speak about the four Ammas closest to the Mizbeach, it's really six Ammas from the Mizbeach, because the first two Ammas were over the Makom of the Mizbeach. The Yisoid, which were embedded on the bottom of the, into the bottom of the Kevesh. So when we speak about the last four Amis near the Mizbeach, last four Amis of the Kevesh, closer to Mizbeach, we're speaking four Amis before the last two, which were actually considered Makom of Mizbeach. So it's really the one that arrived at six Amis first, the point of six Amis away from Mizbeach, he's the winner. So which one is it? Do we look at the actual surface of the Mizbeach, four Amis from there, or the actual Makom of Mizbeach, so it's six Amis from the surface of the Mizbeach? By Rav Papa, Abba Amis She'amru, these four Amis discussed, Ba'adei Amu Yisoid, is it including the Am of the Yisoid, Va'am HaSoiviv, and the Am of the Ram, of the walk around the Mizbeach? So, we ignore the fact that there's Mizbeach material protruding underneath the Kevesh. And whoever arrived first into the four Amis next to the surface of the Mizbeach, so the four Amis include the Soyid, the Soyid and the Soyid, but speaking four Amis right near the surface of the Mizbeach, he went, Dilma, perhaps you have to account for the Soyid and the Soyid. Bar me'ami Yisoid, va'ama Soyid. The four Amis is excluding the Amav Yisoid and Amav Soyiv, so technically it was six Amis away from the top surface of the Mizbeach, because the last two Amis of the Kevesh were not technically exclusively Kevesh, that was already Mizbeach. So four Amis prior to that was considered the finish line. Take it, we leave it unresolved. So the question is, do we look at the one that arrived first at the Mokem of Mizbeach? So as soon as they arrived within four Amis of the Yisoid, that's considered having arrived first at the Mizbeach, and he gets Trumas Hadesh. Or does he have to arrive within four Amis of the top surface, the Maracha, where the Deshen was? He wants to be Zeichen and Trumas Hadesh. He has to come first to the Deshen. Take it, we leave it unanswered. The mission continued. V'mo Yishnei and Shavin. Now suppose both Kohanim arrived at the finish line simultaneously. So what do we do now? Hamamuna Oymel HaMatzviyu. He turns to the Kohanim, he says, extend your fingers. But he wouldn't count the Kohanim themselves. Why not? Tana, we learned in the Brisa. Hayitziu etzbayseichem l'minyan. Show your fingers for the counting process. Why? Why can't he simply count the Kohanim themselves? Mesayeli Rabbi Yitzchak. This is right to Rabbi Yitzchak. The Omer Rabbi Yitzchak. Asur limnoi says Yisrael. Afilu dvar mitzvah. One may not count Yisrael, even if it's for the sake of mitzvah, such as in our case. You have to count fingers. Now, fingers apparently are not considered the actual person, and therefore that's okay. Dichsiv vayif kadeim ba bibazik. This was Shaul HaMelech when he counted the troops in preparation for war. He didn't count the troops themselves, rather bibazik. Rashi explains that it's a lashon of broken shards of pottery. So everybody would contribute one piece of pottery, and he would count the pieces rather than the Yisrael, because you may not count Yisrael, even though it was involving a mitzvah, because you had to count the troops in preparation for the war, and the Chemes mitzvah. We see from there, it's usher to count a yid, even for the sake of mitzvah. Maskev Rav Ashi. Says Rav Ashi, how do you know? Memai dahai bazik lishna de mivziku. How do you know the meaning of bazik is in reference to a piece of pottery? V'dilma shma de maso. Maybe bebazik means in that town. It's the name of a town. So we see that Bozek is the name of a town. Elamach, rather, we have arrived from the following pasuk, because next time Shaul counted them, he used items as well. He didn't count the people. He counted them through animals. Vayishama Shaul Asam, so he gathered all the troops. Vayivkadim Betloim, and he counted them by way of lambs. So he told them to take a lamb each, and then counted the behemoths, which gave him the exact number of Israel. Omar Belezer Kalam Moina, as Yisrael Over Belav. One counts Yisrael Over Mitzvah Leisa Se Shenemar V'Hoya Misra Bnei Yisrael Kichayel Hayam Asher Lo Yimat. Yisrael will not be measured Lo Yimat. Amar Nachman Yitzchak Omar Over Shnei Lavin. He's Over on two Lavin. Shenemar Lo Yimat V'Lo Yisafer. Not measured or counted. I saw a nice pshat, the name of the Yaris Dvash. He says Klal Yisrael is one unit. Yisroel, counting denotes period, separation. You're one, you're two, you're three. That's erroneous. We're all one unit, one neshama, one entity. Asur limnoi says Yisroel. You may not count them as separate numbers, rather one unit, which is not giving to counting. Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Achmeni, Rabbi Yonis and Rabbi. Rabbi Yonis had a kasha, a stira between two psukim. One pasuk says, "K'siv ha'yim mispar bnei Yisrael k'chayil hayam." Klal Yisrael have an exact number; it's finite, like the sand at the sea. U'k'siv, another pasuk says, "Asher lo yimad v'lo yisafer." Not measured, not counted. So actually, it's the same pasuk in Yeshaya. So what is it? Is it finite or infinite? The kasha answers like this: "Kam bezman sheYisrael oisin tzoyin shel mokem." When Yisrael are fulfilling Ratzon Hashem, then they identify with Hashem, who's the source of their existence, and they're one unit, not given to measurements or numbers. Kan bizman shenis oisin yitzen shel mokim. However, when Yisrael are not chas v'shalom doing what's Hashem, in that case, it has a finite quality to it. Rabbi Omar mishum Abba Yosi ben Dostoy. Rabbi said the name of Abba Yosi. Another pshat. The kasha answer is, Kam b'dei Adam, Kam b'dei Shemayim. Depends who's counting. B'dei Adam, a person may not count, ever. Lo yimad lo yisafer. However, b'dei Shemayim, Hashem. In that case, this doesn't apply. In that case, we apply the term, Mispa b'nei Yisrael k'choil hayam. Now, when it comes to halacha l'maisa, the Rambam brings this halacha, that one is not allowed to count Yisrael. The only way you can do it is through using some sort of item, like the Gemara has the Itzleh, the Bozak, using an item, or Machza Shekel, which tells you their number. The Sefer Itim says you may count through using a pasuk. This is a common practice. You go into a shul, you say Hashia Samecha. You're not counting the person, you're just using the person as an indicator for the word in the pasuk. You're really going through the pasuk and you end up with Ad Ha'olam, you know you have a meaning. And the Sefer Torah Lishma explains, so why is it that they counted fingers? Finger is really part of the person. So he says, the issur is to count a person as a person, but just one aver, like a finger, that's mutter, which would sound like you can actually count a hand or a foot, as long as you're not counting the person in his totality. But other poskim disagree. The Avnei Ezer writes that this is specific to a finger. He says a finger is considered like a separate entity from the person itself. It's more or less hangs loose, and it's not considered part and parcel of the actual the etzem of the person. It could be viewed as a separate entity, and therefore there's a heter to count fingers. It's not considered being moina es Yisrael. The Chasam Sofer and Rav Moshe Feinstein says the same thing in trying to explain this Gemara. Why is it that they can count fingers? Fingers part of a person. What's the difference if it's just an aver or the full person? They say like this. Generally speaking, you cannot count fingers. The reason why it was mute here was because it was up to the Kehanim. You don't know if the Kohen would stick out his finger and show his finger. Perhaps he decided, I'm not going to take part in the pious. It wasn't mandatory. So when he went around counting fingers, He wasn't really counting all them, necessarily. It wasn't mukhrach that he was counting everybody present. Therefore, it's not considered a full count on all the people there. He says, lav davka, they're going to be moitzi their fingers. It's not considered a minion on all present. And therefore, it was mutter in this case. Amar avni loi bar idiom ashmo. Kimin shenismane odom parnas latzibur. Once a person gets appointed in a position of leadership, Miss Asher gets wealthy. Wealth is something needed, something which adds power and influence, and is required for true leadership. We see the Kohen Gadol was wealthy. We find in HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashu Shechinasa on Asher. So, to be a true effective leader, you have to have that element as well. It comes with the job. How do we know that? We find by Shaul, we have two psukim describing his accounting of Yisrael. So initially, what did they use? Pieces of vecheres. But later on, when he counted them the second time, he used lambs. Apparently, his fortunes improved on him. He got wealth. Perhaps it was their animals, not his. What's the point of the pasuk highlighting that they used its loim, if not for the fact that we're trying to teach us this point that a parnos, he gets wealthy eventually. Vayarv banacha. The pasuk here is describing Shaul HaMelech when he was engaging the Amalekim. Vayarv banachal, so he engaged in some sort of debate in the nachal. What does this mean? Omer of money. Al iske nachal. This was pertaining to the concept, the sugya of nachal. What do you mean? B'shosh Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Hashem instructed Shaul HaMelech, Leich, vik, he says Amalek, go and kill out Amalek. Men, women, children, everybody, even the animals. Shaul HaMelech hesitated. Omar, and he presented an argument as follows. Uma nefesh achas. We find that even when it comes to one life, look how careful we are. Omra teira, have egla rufa. We find a person who was killed on the road. We have to engage in kapara. We have to bring egla rufa. Look how much value one nefesh has. Now I'm going to kill out the entire Amalek. Call on a fascist halalu. Allah has come and become. Certainly, one has to be careful and compassionate. And why are you telling me to kill them all out? Now, okay, a person, the Amalekim, they sinned. What about the animals? Why should I kill them out? If the adults did averus, why are the children guilty? Man, he hesitated to be mekayem the mitzvah Hashem. Actually, he sort of caved into the desires of the Am. He said later on when he was explaining himself, he says the Am wanted to salvage some of the animals as booty, and therefore I hesitated to carry out the mitzvah. So he didn't assert his leadership properly. He was the king. He should have led the nation. Yotza baskel v'amalei alti tzadik arbi. A heavenly voice calls out and says, don't be extra righteous. Hashem tells you to kill them out, kill them out. In fact, we find another incident involving Shaul where it went to the other extreme. When Shaul instructed Doeg to kill Noiv, the Yerak Kehanim, because they supported David HaMelech, and he was escaping from Shaul. Soiv ato, gab Kehanim, kill the Kehanim. Yotso baskel v'amalei, once again, he had a baskel telling him, al tir shaharbe, don't do so much rishas. Amar avhuna, kama lechali, look how much a person does not have to have fear. V'loi margish, or to have anxiety. He should feel safe and secure. Which person? Gavra, a man, demuri, sayi. Muri means Hashem. That Hashem helps him. A person who has siyata d'shmaya, a person who is a tzaddik and moser nefesh for Hashem, he merits siyata d'shmaya. He can be safe and secure with nothing to worry about. And the chiddush is that even if he might commit some sort of a misdeed, a blunder, he's okay. Hashem will be marichalim if he does tshuva. He has nothing to worry about. Where do we see this? Shol ba'achas v'osalei. Let's draw a parallel between Shol HaMelech, who committed one blunder, the blunder that we just mentioned by Amalek. He let Agag live, and eventually, through Agag, the whole nation of Amalek resurrected itself. So he committed that misdeed, that blunder, Shol ba'achas v'osalei, and it cost him. It cost him his malchus. He didn't lead properly, and he suffered the consequences. So even one misdeed generated such grave consequences. On the other hand, David b'shtayim b'lo yosalei. Despite the fact that David HaMelech committed two blunders, he did not suffer as a consequence. He was spared an einish. Apparently, David HaMelech stood higher, had more sa'at l'shmaya. He was more mercy nefesh for Hashem, and Hashem protected him as a result. Says Mor Shol ba'achas mai. What is that single thing, that single blunder related to Shol? Masa da Agag, that he let Agag live. So it's only one thing that he did. Va'ikam masa d'noiv ira kehanim. What about the fact that he killed out the city of Kehanim? Amasa da Agag siv says the more, but when it comes to the story of Agag, there we find that it cost him the Malchus. He was punished to die prematurely and to lose the Malchus. Ksiv nechamti, Hashem sent a message to Shol through Shmuel HaNavi. Nechamti kim lachti Shol HaMelech. I regret that I appointed Shol as a king. That's not true leadership. He acquiesced to the request of the nation, let some of the Amalek live. It cost him the Malchus. On the other hand, we find David b'shtayim. He committed two blunders, and he was spared a consequence. David b'shtayim ma'nino. What are the two things? Du Uriah v'da'asata. The story that David married Bathsheba, and her husband Uriah was sent out by David to the battlefield, where he eventually died. Gemara Shabbos says he didn't actually kill him. He was actually murdered by Malchus, and liable to death, but David HaMelech didn't actually directly kill him. He sent him out to the battlefield. The taina was that he should have taken him to court and judged him there. So that was a blunder. Du Uriah v'da'asata. That's when he counted Klal Yisrael directly without using a medium. So da'asata means that he was pushed into it. He was led into doing so. And that was the second blunder. So despite the fact that he did these two things, he was spared einish on the fact of his high madrega. Says there were only two. V'ikam nami masad Bathsheba. What about the story of Bathsheba? That counts as an avera. Hasam ifrumine. Over there, he indeed did suffer personal punishment. He suffered bodily harm. There was some sort of grave consequence. Tchsiv v'sakiv so yishalim arbosayim. This was when Nasan Hanavi approached David HaMelech with a mashal. What would you say if one steals a kivsa, a sheep, from a poor person? What do you say? What happens? David HaMelech says he has to pay back four times what he stole. It's a halacha. A person steals a sheir sed, it's dal dvehei. Ah, this is you, says Nasan Hanavi. You stole Uriah's wife, and you have to pay back four times as much. And he suffered four times. Yeled. So the first son from Bathsheba died. Amnon, he also was killed. Tamar, this was a story of the Iznus. Amnon and Tamar, so this was a great tragedy. Avshalom, a rebellious son, who also was eventually killed. So he suffered four tragedies as a result. So what do you mean? So that's the Gemara's answer. That by Bathsheba, he got punished. So it doesn't belong on our list of things that he was spared einish. Hasam nami ifrumine. Says more regarding counting Yisrael. Hasata. There as well, he suffered as a result. Tchsiv ayitan Hashem dever ba'amin ha'boik v'adei smayim. Hashem applied a dever, a plague, on Klal Yisrael as a result. So they suffered a great tragedy as a result of that avera. Hasam lo ifrumi gufei. Over there, he didn't personally suffer bodily harm. Says the more hasam nami lo ifrumi gufei. By Bathsheba as well, it wasn't personal harm. His child died, etc., but it wasn't an oish applied to him personally. So why that difference between Bathsheba and Asasa? La'ai says, well, actually, yes. If from Gufei, by Bathsheba, he did suffer personally. Damar vidam arav, shishach adoshim stereh David. David HaMelech was a mitzvah for 6 months. Upirisha min Sanhedrin, Sanhedrin kept away from him, nestalkim in Shechina, he lost his Shechina, chsiv, yoshuvu li yireecha. Yoyde desecha. David HaMelech davens to Hashem that the Yireim, the Yoyde Edus, the Sanhedrin should come back to him. Uksiv Hashivali, the Sanhedrin, Hashem's joy restored to me, the Shechina should come back. So by Bathsheba was different because he actually personally suffered. He was a Mitzera. As opposed to the Uriah and Asata blunders where there was no personal harm inflicted on him. Says more, that's the only thing he did wrong. V'amarav, Kibo David Lashon Hara. He was Makabal, he believed Lashon Hara. The whole story with Tziba, who related Lashon Hara about Mephibosheth, look, he's against you. And David HaMelech was Makabal that Lashon Hara. So why isn't that added to the list? Because Shmuel, we're following Shmuel, she's a Damar like Kibo. David Lashon Hara, he didn't actually accept Lashon Hara. And even according to Rav, Rav Namid Omar, Kibo David Lashon Hara, Ha'ifru Minei, he did suffer an einish as a result, and it was a personal einish, which he personally experienced. The Amar Vidam Rav. B'shosh Amar Lo David Fibayshis. When David turned to him Fibayshis, he says, "You're going to lose half your estate." Amarti, I said, "Ato v'tzibo, you and tzibo tachalkas hasada, you'll split the field." So he made him lose part of the sada because he trusted Tziba's account of things that Fibayshis was up to no good, so he took away part of his field. And when he did that, Yotza Baskel V'Amrloi, Baskel rang out and said to him, "You're going to be punished. Your malchus, your reign will not be successful later on. Your descendants will lose the exclusive rights of being the Melachim of Kal Yisrael Ruchavim, your descendant Ruchavim, and Yerovam, who was not a descendant of David HaMelech, Yichalkos HaMalchus, will split the kingdom. Some Yisrael will follow Malchus with David, and some Achi Yisrael." So he himself suffered personal consequence as a result. His malchus became mitigated. So bottom line is, David HaMelech did several things, Bathsheba and the fact that it was Makabel Lashon Hara, but over there he suffered direct retribution. When it came to Uriah and Asata, he did not suffer directly because he had to Asata Dishmaya. He was a Gavro de Mare Saye. The pasuk continues, Ben Shono Shaul B'Malchai. When Shaul was appointed king, he was merely 1 year old? How could that be? Omar of Huna, the pasuk means as follows. He was as pure as a 1 year old. Kiven shana shaloi tam, tam chet. As a 1 year old who never experienced chet. Maskel of Nachmar Yitzchak. How do you know to interpret it in that way? In a positive light. Ve'ema, perhaps you can say, Kiven shana is compared to like a 1 year old. Shemuluch lach betit v'tzaya. Like a baby who's dirtied and all sullied with tit and tzaya. Actually, Ben Shana usually means within a 1 year old. In any case, he painted a negative picture about Shlomo HaMelech. Ach vilei l'Rav Nachman Siyuta b'chelmi. As a result, they showed Rav Nachman Siyuta, a group of malachi pachat, scary malachim, a scary dream he had. Because he referred to Shlomo HaMelech in a disparaging way. Omar, so as a result, he said, "Nanesi lachem, I spoke too harshly against you. At some is the bones of Shaul ben Kish." So he acknowledged that he overspoke. Hadar chaza siyuta b'chelmi. Once again, he experienced a scary dream. Omar, this time, he upped it a notch. He spoke more respectful. "Nanesi lachem, I spoke too harshly against you. At some is Shaul ben Kish melech Yisrael." Oh, so now things calm down. Omar b'dam Shmuel. So we learned earlier that Shaul HaMelech lost his malchus. Why did that happen? Why was it not a successful malchus? What was the root of things? Because there was no deficiency in the family there. So what's wrong with that? Let's see Rashi inside. 13 lines from the bottom of the Amud. It says, Rashi, Shaul's malchus did not carry on long term. There was no deficiency in the family. So what's wrong with that? That could present a concern. His children, the Malachim, might become Bali Gaiva on Yisrael. Look, we're the royal family. We're cut above the rest. We're indispensable. And Hashem doesn't want a leader of Klal Yisrael to have that attitude. You're meant to lead, but not to follow. But a leader means he's a servant of Hashem, a servant of the community. So Shaul HaMelech's malchus was not meant to last long term because it had that deficiency. There's nothing wrong in the family. It can lead to gava. It was transferred to David HaMelech, who was perfect for that position. Why? Avot David, where did he come from? Meirus HaMoavias. You can't get a more lowly origin than that. Rus from Moab. So he had that deficiency in the lineage, and that generated Anava and ensured that he maintained proper perspective, and therefore he was perfect for that position. And the malchus carried on the deir deiris to the descendants of David HaMelech. Continues the Gemara. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, We only appoint a leader on the community if he fits the following criteria. There's a basket of creatures hanging behind him. Meaning something wrong with his lineage, with his ancestry. This will keep him in shape. Because, just in case, he gets haughty, we tell him, take a look. Take a look at what's hanging behind you. Take a look at your origin. Who is your grandfather? Who is your great-grandfather? This will maintain proper perspective, keep him an anav, and make him roi to serve Kal Yisrael. Amar b'dam Rav. Another pshat. What precipitated the blunder of Shaul, which generated the einish, which made him lose his malchus? Because all the way at the initiation of his malchus, he displayed some sort of weakness in his leadership ability, so to speak. Because he was meichel on his honor. When people disregarded him, when they mocked him, he should have protected the honor of the institution, of the malchus. Shenemar bnei Belial, these wicked people, Amr, ma yishein is there? What's this fellow going to do for us already? Vayivazu, they mocked him. Vayivu lo mincha, vayikamachrish. Shalom Melech didn't respond. He remained silent. So although on a personal level, he should be meichel, but here he represents Hashem, the institution of malchus. Represents Hashem's malchus. Rabban says, the concept of malucha is Hashem's thing. The melech down here is an ambassador, representative of Hashem's malchus. So you have to defend the institution, Hashem's malchus, Hashem's honor. You can't just let that go. So this happened when he was appointed king. And this led to the blunder which happened later, when he once again did not display absolute leadership when it came to killing out the Amalekim. He followed the Am, who wanted to leave some animals over. So once he was Meichel on the cover here, what does it say afterwards? Uksiv Ayal Nochash Amoini, Ayichan al Yavish Gilad, Nochash, the king of Amoin, came up and he camped on Yavish Gilad. We learn from here a drasha. Var b'yichan, shum shimei yetzadak. Kol tamat chacham, sh'eni noikim, v'noiter kenochash, eina tamat chacham. A true Talmud Chacham is one who defends the honor of Torah, not his personal honor. He's Noikim, he seeks revenge, he's Noiter, he harbors anger, like a Nachash was a madman. A Nachash is known for his anger. So a Talmud Chacham must do that as well. As Rambam explains, show on a personal level, he should be Meichel, he should be an Anav and a Savlon. We know great Tzaddikim were great Anavim. Moshe Feinstein was known for his humility and for his being Mevater. But that's if it's personal. But if it takes place in full public view before Hestia, then you must defend the Torah. You represent the Torah. A king must protect and defend Malchus. So that was a deficiency here. He wasn't like the Nachash. That's Vayal Nachash HaKadmoini. He wasn't like the Nachash, who was Neiker v'Neiter. Incidentally, the Sefer Chanukah HaTorah says a beautiful pshat. What's the comparison to a Nachash? A Nachash, we know, the Medrash speaks about the fact that a Nachash kills people without enjoying it. That's a tain of the Nachash. Why are you doing this? You don't enjoy it. And he responds, well, killing people who speak Lashon Hara don't have much out of it either. In any case, we see that the Nachash doesn't enjoy what he eats. Everything tastes like dust. Talmud Chacham, even though he has to do, he's required, he's mandated to take nekama when necessary from his detractors, from his mockers who mock the Torah, but it's not personal revenge. He has no hana from it. He has absolutely no personal interest or enjoyment. He's simply doing it as mandated by Hashem, as required, like a Nachash. He's doing Hashem Shlichas. Noikev and Noikev like a Nachash. Okay, time for a brief Chazor of today's daf. We learned about Tumas Hadeshim. Initially, we thought, well, we weren't going to be too many customers here. It's Avodas Laila. It involves loss of sleep. So, first come, first serve. And if several arrive, they have a race. Whoever reaches the Mizbeach first wins the Tumas Hadeshim. When they saw that it generated the sakana, one guy shoved the other one, so they applied the pious system, but then nobody came. Well, I'm going to get up early just for the chance of winning the lottery. So they applied a bundle system. With the Tumas Hadeshim, you win the Siddur Ma'arocha and the Gizra Eitzim to make it more attractive. We learned from the Mishnah, you must count fingers, you can't count a Yisrael directly, you have to use a medium, a finger, a piece of cheres, a tzle, shol ha-melech. Upon one blunder, he lost his malchus. That was a blunder regarding the Amalekim, the Agag. The Gemara tells us, it all began when he was moichel on his kavod, when he was appointed king. Another pshat, because there was nothing wrong, nothing deficient in the mishpacha, and Hashem wants the leader to be humble, and therefore it was transferred to David HaMelech, who came from Rusa Ma'aviyah, who was perfect for that position. Hatzlacha Rabbah and Psuras Tevis to you.